Well, I echo Charles remark and David's remark. I think this debate is a very good idea. And for me, it's very nice to meet Charles and Connor. I've never met them before. They're enemies on paper, but I don't think so in real life. I hope that's right. Sitting here... I didn't see that. Sitting here, actually, but waiting for these two big beasts of politics to speak is a bit like being an MP waiting for the Daily Telegraph to come out in the morning. Extremely frightening. Some of you may know that Mr. Clark and Dr. Geertie have exchanged some sharp words in the past. In his gentle, coded way, the former Home Secretary accused me and three others of spreading pernicious and even dangerous poison, while Dr. Geertie maintains that the same group of self-styled liberty defenders are right-wingers determined only to protect the rich and privileged. We have heard Mr. Clark, but not yet Dr. Geertie. Let me just tell him that unless he finds a more reasonable tone, his black pug dog, Alfie, doesn't see Tuesday.
Is that against the law?
Yes, you can find out pretty much anything about anyone these days. I gather there has been a breach of security in the National Canine Owners Register. I have been far from blameless in this war of words, so in the spirit of reconciliation and recognition of the crisis in governance that we face, I want to start by arguing for the other side. And frankly, they're going to need all the help they can get. In relation to liberty, privacy and rights, I think we need to acknowledge the following points. That centralised power of the state had already begun under Margaret Thatcher. Because as Ben Wilson points out in his excellent new book, What Price Liberty, which I do recommend, published this week, the Conservatives believed that this was the only way to run the country and guarantee freedom. They probably didn't know it, but they agreed with the Marxist historian Eric Hobsbawm when he said, freedom cannot be achieved except by bureaucratic decision, a sentiment with which I profoundly disagree. Second, the technologies to watch and listen to us, to track every movement and all our important transactions, are being developed by rapacious, capitalist, usually foreign corporations, not the left. And third, most importantly, we have, for a variety of reasons, become a much less cohesive society with far fewer shared values. We've had the growth of identity politics, which Charles talked well about, large-scale immigration and emigration, and the steady rise of what I call consumer individualism, the flawed conviction that the spending of what turned out to be illusory wealth could provide all the freedom a person needed. But these are the only concessions I make to their argument. Does the left still care about liberty? Not on the evidence of the last dozen years, which have witnessed a war against liberty, rights and privacy waged by a Labour government and sanctioned by a parliament, which as a body has lost all sense of the need to preserve our free society. So the answer is a resounding no. I want to put the attack on liberty into the context of the calamity that has befallen Parliament under this government's reign of error. I see this current crisis as being inextricably linked with the theft of our liberties and contempt for privacy, which, by the way, Dr. Geertie astonishingly dismisses as a libertarian privilege designed to cloak the advantages of the rich. I go further and say that the attack on rights and the abuse of public money conform to a pattern of disrespect for the public by a government that was elected by less than a quarter of the voters, and that that pattern includes the decision to go to war in Iraq. Today we live in a society where the left has orchestrated a vast increase of centralised power, presided over a catastrophic decline in Parliament's power to scrutinise legislation, set in place the systems to abolish personal privacy, that prerequisite for freedom and properly functioning democracy, failed to regulate a bunch of crooked bankers while regulating the individual with 3,500 new criminal offences and a torrent of restrictions and rules that invade the personal sphere and infantilise the public. The German philosopher Wolfgang Soski wrote in his book Privacy, a Manifesto, which I heartily recommend, the total state wants to restrict freedom and to guide society and educate its citizens. New rules and regulations are constantly being imposed on everyday life. Just because something isn't forbidden doesn't mean that it is permitted. That is the society the left is building. It will be a place of unending official suspicion, vetting, verification, form-filling, sanctions and punishment. Why? I'll tell you. It's what David, the point that David made. The left lift up their eyes to the radiant purpose of the collective and ignore the liberty of the guy in the street. They forget that all liberty, all authority claimed in the name of the state must derive from the people. Liberty. Liberty, what is liberty to the left but an obstacle to efficient government? The speed of this revolution is so terrifying. Britain has become a place where the new children's database will eventually grant access to 300,000 nosy officials, yet not to parents. We've got schools grooming a new generation for the brave new world, busily capturing children's biometrics and installing CCTV in classrooms, surveillance systems that emit a piercing noise aimed to disperse youngsters, police forward intelligence teams, this is, I think, is extremely sinister, photographing people attending legitimate political meetings and storing images on a secret national database. And we've got stringent new vetting procedures for anyone who has the slightest contact with children, which I think is just going to damage our society beyond anything that we can imagine. From the end of the year, each of us will be expected to hand over 53 pieces of information to the state before being allowed to leave this country. No data, no exit visa. I mean, how dare they do that? All our road journeys are monitored and the data retained for five years. The ID card, which David talked eloquently about, will log every important transaction of our life. And now they want to access our communications data, texts, phone calls, emails, and internet usage. There is literally nothing in our lives that the authorities won't be able to find out. The next thing we will have to worry about is what conclusion they will draw as these databases fuse, merge, and exchange information. What intentions will they read into our innocent behaviour? Ladies and gentlemen, we are just 2 weeks from the 8th of June, the 60th anniversary of this book, the publication of George Orwell's 1984. A good time, I suggest, to consider what sort of society we are creating for our children. Will we be the first generation in centuries of struggle to hand over a less free, less private society than the one we inherited? I hope not. I hope this crisis produces a new resolve to guard our freedoms, to bring to the executive to heal and make Parliament work for us, the people. My opponents tonight will tell you this is all nonsense. They will say I exaggerate my case. But my case is made in the statute book, 20 acts with more than 50 separate measures that limit rights and liberty and extend the power of ministers. My case is made in the bills that the Treasury has to pick up, 4.5 billion on ID cards, 1.2 billion for e-borders, 12 billion for the NHS spine database, 1.2 billion for the interception modernisation programme, 224 million for the children's database, plus 41 million per annum for running costs, and 500 million spent on CCTV in the 10 years to 2006, which the Home Office's own report says has no substantial effect on crime except in car parks. The critics of those who try to defend liberty say they do so because they are seeking some kind of political heroism and are part of the lazy anti-politics of the age. The logic of this charge is if you attack the status quo, you must be against the state. A truly Marxist line if there ever was one. They say we must trust the benevolence and wisdom of the state, offer up our data as though it were some tax. Well, what do you mean by that? What do they mean by the state? Is it Sofsky's total state? Is it the one that took us to war on false intelligence? Is it the one that loses terabytes of information? The one that failed to equip our soldiers properly in Afghanistan? The one that gives official generated intelligence on legitimate people to private energy companies? The one that has set up a secret unit, the fixated threat assessment unit, to lock up under new mental health regulations, those who are said to pose a threat. Which state is it? I think I have the answer. The state they refer to is them. The sum total of government policies, those in power, in effect, the needs and interests of the left. The government's defenders point to the Freedom of Information Act, as Charles did, and the Human Rights Act as symbols of Labour's love of liberty. Would that be the same Freedom of Information Act that allowed a veto from Jack Straw in the winter on the Iraq cabinet papers. And as for the Human Rights Act, well, it has certainly worked wonders for the rights of certain individuals. I don't deny that. But when it comes to protecting liberty, the HRA is little better than taking antibiotics for a broken leg. A great medicine, but applied to the wrong ailment. But things are going to change. As I drove through the peerless afternoon, looking at the British countryside, I thought there's not much wrong that we cannot fix if we take responsibility for our politics and our liberty. You see, freedom is not like a public utility. It's not like the water or gas. It's not going to be always there. And it suddenly occurred to me that we are at least going to be spared the grotesque presumption of a new Bill of Rights and responsibilities issued by our elected representative, actually as has been threatened by both parties. For it is now clear that if anyone is going to be defining rights and responsibilities, it is us. Our rights and their responsibilities. I thank you for listening.